Welcome back, WNST Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. We are in the midst of WNST Rock Week, and this is my little presentation after 25 years of doing radio here, how many rock and rollers I've had on the actual show, and I'm sure you've heard by now some of the awkward conversations that I've had with various rock stars back in the 80s that were sit-down interviews meant for a newspaper story and weren't really done with a radio tone or resets and stuff like that. So I'm telling some stories, but this one was made for radio and was on the radio. And for any of you who have listened for any period of time, you know my affinity for certain artists, and you know whether it's Billy Joel or Bruce Springsteen, the guys in Styx. But Rush has always sort of been my favorite band. If you see me in my various Rush t-shirts on the WNSTV YouTube videos or on our Facebook Live, you know that I've been seeing Rush for as long as Rush has been Rush. My first Rush show was September 26, 1980 at the Capitol Center, and Saxon opened up. I'm still kind of a Biff Byford fan as well with Saxon, a little heavy metal thunder. But for Rush, all of the albums later, all the tours later, they've played so many places, whether it's driving up and down to the Spectrum or to Merriweather, they've played the Capitol, so they played the arena here many, many times. I probably have seen 50 or 60 Rush shows over the years, and I've talked to Geddy Lee enough to, he knows who I am and I know who he is. He's a huge baseball fan. And we were at a point in the 90s where he would come on once a year. And, you know, at this point, I tried to get him on last year, but they were kind enough to participate in our charity event that we were doing for the 30-30. And he held up the swab the first night of the tour and invited me to Chicago, which was awesome. At one point, I'm going to sit down and do something really awesome with him and sit and talk about baseball. Heck, every time the Orioles play the Blue Jays, I'm looking behind home plate to see if Geddy's in the front row. But this interview specifically, and this is the only one that I can locate, so this is the only proof of conversation I have with Geddy Lee, but he did call into the show maybe three or four times in the 90s. I'm still unearthing some of the tapes. And then the original interview that I did with him back in 1984 on the Grace Under Pressure tour, and that was at the Baltimore News American. I did write a story on that, but I have since lost said interview. You know, like some people have moms that throw away the baseball cards in the attic. I'm missing a portion of early interview tapes from 1984 and 85 with Paul Stanley, with Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon, with Jim Peterick from Survivor, with Rick Emmett from Triumph, as well as Tom Hamilton from Aerosmith, Walt Perezader from Chicago. These are the missing interviews that I have, but not much is missing. 99% of what I've done, I have, especially on the radio. I am missing an Alice Cooper and a Sammy Hagar interview from Nasty Nationwide, but you know, such is life. A quarter of a century later. But this is Geddy Lee. This is from 1997. We do talk a little bit about baseball. For those of you that don't know about Geddy Lee's baseball side, and again, I'd love to talk to half of these musicians again later in life and catch up in different ways. But Geddy specifically is just such a huge baseball fan. He has the world's largest collection of Negro baseball autographs and memorabilia. His collection is on loan in Kansas City at the Negro Baseball Museum. It's not a Hall of Fame, it's a library. And if you ever get out to Kansas City, by all means, see that. If you Google my Give a Spit Day, that we did a tour of the museum there in Kansas City, and I show the baseballs, and I'm sure you can Google Geddy Lee and Negro Baseball Library read about it and see it, all the autographs, but also American presidents. He has signed baseballs from every American president who has signed a baseball. So, you know, you go back into the early 1900s, he has those baseballs, and he has showed those in various videos. And if you've seen the Music Legends series on MTV HD, you can check that out as well. So, Geddy Lee, big baseball fan, my all-time favorite musician, an all-time super funny, quirky, wine-drinking, world-traveling, bon vivant, awesome dude. You know, you look up cool, and there's a picture of Geddy Lee there. Geddy Lee visited us in 1997. I was at WLG at the time. Brokering radio was before the advent of WNST. And I know it's 1997 because we Googled the Kenny Lofton trade with Alan Embry with the Braves for Marquise Grissom and David Justice. And there is a reference to that in this interview, as well as many 1997 baseball references. So let's go back two decades live from Canada, the great, great Geddy Lee. We welcome onto the line, live from, I think he's in Toronto. I don't know. I didn't check the international phone line there. But we welcome Geddy Lee, fantastic bass player from the rock band Rush. Geddy, welcome back to the Budweiser Sports Forum. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Nice to be here.
I guess you're in better shape being a Blue Jay fan, knowing that our pitching rotation has gone to hell here.
Well, I just want to tell you, my shoulder's fine. They can call me. If they need me to fill in, it's
well,
no
see,
problem.
I figure if we could call on the former Blue Jays general manager, we can call on the former Blue Jays second baseman, we can call on the former Blue Jays pitcher to actually start opening day for us here. Sacrilege, to my way of thinking, in the late 80s and early 90s. Then we might as well call on the Canadian rock stars as well to come down and.
Well, yeah, there seems to be a confusion of birds down there.
Well, we got Orioles and Ravens now as well with the football thing, so things are going. Are you in Toronto today? Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
All right. So how has the community up there taken to Roger Clemens? I guess that's the first question we'll throw at you.
Well, you can imagine the amount of publicity it's gotten, and I'm sure the front office here was doing it largely to promote ticket sales, which since the strike have been on the wane, as they have been in most other cities. And to a large degree, that's worked, because there is certainly a broader interest back in the game and in the Blue Jays since his signing.
We're chatting with Geddy Lee, bassist from the rock band Rush, and I think Rush is going to be doing another leg of a tour coming up sometime in June, maybe passing Philadelphia or somewhere here about, and I'm sure you'll be hearing about it here because, of course, we're big Rush fans here. That's why we bring Geddy on. Not only that, but Geddy also a baseball aficionado.
And,
many liner notes with baseball references. First thing for you, how in the world did you become a baseball fan? Being a full-blooded Canadian, as I'm assuming you are, you didn't get baseball up there until 1977, and I'm sure you were a fan long before then.
Well, when I was very young, I think we had the Tigers farm system here, farm team here in, I think they were the Toronto Maple Leafs baseball club, actually, which played at an old stadium downtown that's no longer around.
But, well, hey, if St. Louis can have football and baseball Cardinals, I guess you can have baseball and hockey Maple Leafs,
right? That's right.
The Maple Leaf sells in Canada. It's an amazing thing.
It's true, and it's the only grammatically incorrect sports team in the world. So. Anyway, all that aside, I didn't rediscover baseball really till I was on the road, and you know the hours that us rock musicians keep. I would find myself very often waking up at 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock and having breakfast before I went to the venue, and very often there'd be a ball game on, and I would watch it, and I kind of got hooked to the game that way.
So this happened not as a young lad; this happened as a young adulthood type thing.
Yeah.
So you were, like most Canadians, born with skates on at that point when you were 8, 9 years old, a hockey guy.
Well, you wouldn't have wanted to see me on skates. I was not a natural. I was not a typical Canadian born to play hockey, you know.
Born to play the bass.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's talk a little more about the 97 season. Obviously, some reason to be excited in Toronto. I know you got a lot of friends around baseball. Jeff Montgomery's a good friend of mine, said that he knows you. He'll be pitching here for the Royals during the course of the week. Said he once flew in a plane with you during the 93 All-Star game and stuff like that. For you to have friends involved in baseball, as you being a musician, and I've snaked you out of Camden Yards on occasion as well, seeing games, and obviously here for the 1993 All-Star game. For you to have the association with friends, do you still root for the Blue Jays, or do you root for friends? I mean, have you made a friend on the Blue Jays who now pitches somewhere else? I know you and Mark Langston are close, for instance.
Yeah, I have a few friends around the league that I've met through various means over the years, and some of them have become very good friends, and I root for them. But although, you know, of course I root for my home team, but if my home team is facing one of my buddies, and I root for my buddy. You got to do it.
Didn't you have an affiliation with the Expos at some point with Warren Cromartie, or am I losing my mind?
No, he was. I met him quite a long time ago in the early 80s, and we became very good friends and still are. And, I even traveled to Japan to see him play in the Japan Series in 1990.
Tell me about Japanese baseball. It's one thing I've always wanted to do. The only exposure I've got to it are those, like, sort of cloudy videotapes that come back in the off season when we
do our little barnstorming American tour, and of course, seeing Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck. I mean, the only thing is that close, seeing that movie, what it's really like?
There was quite a lot of it that was very close to what it's like over there, but also it was played up a little bit, as you can imagine, for movie purposes. But I mean, going to a ball game over there is bizarre for your average North American, because the crowd is very colorful and they have these rooting sections that are like cheerleading sections with flags waving and these...
More like a college basketball game in America?
Yeah, like a high school chant that's going on all the time. And, you know, the quality of baseball is very high. And there's some very athletic players there.
Oh, I think we're seeing that with Hideo Nomo and Hideki Arabu, and how much these American teams are willing to give up to try to bring these guys in.
Yeah, there's some very good pitching, too.
All right, as far as this season, who do you like, and tell me why? Do you think this is a bounce-back year for the Jays to get back into the playoffs? The Yankees, obviously, making some moves. And the Orioles right now, with very bad news, I'm sure you heard it when you're on hold with Messina being out. Encavilla heads to the DL. Brady Anderson is destined for the DL tomorrow. And Getty, it's snowing. It's not just snowing. It's blizzarding here right now.
Well, it's been snowing here for a couple of days, too, and Brady Anderson going on the DL personally hurts my fantasy team.
No, that sucks. I hate when that happens.
Yeah,
I
hate that.
I'll let Brady know that he better get it together for you.
But I think the Yankees are still very strong, very hard to beat in the division. I think the Orioles look strong as well, and when their guys get back, they're going to be tough. And I think the Blue Jays are going to be in the hunt just because of the strength of their pitching.
What about the Mariners and the White Sox now with Ventura out? The Indians obviously picking up a lot of strength, trading Kenny Lofton over, but, I mean, you cannot discount Marquise Grissom and Dave Justice and Matt Williams in that lineup.
No, they are incredibly deep in terms of hitting, and I think their pitching is more adequate than people realize.
Well, they're saying Jack McDowell might be headed for the DL now, too. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I did hear a rumor of that. But I like the Mariners' chances a lot, too. I think they've got a very solid staff, and you can't complain about their hitting potential, too. So the American League just seems to be getting deeper and deeper.
Give me those American League picks. Come on, we'll get you off the fence here. East, Central, West, and a wild card.
Well, I still like the Yankees in the East. In the Central, I still have to favor the Indians, even though I think the White Sox are going to be real tough, but I don't know if their pitching is as good. And I like the Mariners in the West. Although I would rather say the Angels because of my buddy who pitches for the team.
So you don't think the White Sox can give Cleveland a run in the Central? I mean,
I think they do have a chance to give them a real good run, but I don't know if it will be enough. They certainly, you know, could be in there as a wild card and they could upset somebody.
Now give me your wild card. Get off the fence here. Is it Jays, Birds? You like the White Sox?
I'll go with the White Sox.
You don't like the Orioles? Oh, well, you didn't like the Blue Jays either, so I guess we can't get on you too much. National League. National League, give it to me.
Okay, National League, I go with the Braves. I think they will beat out the Marlins. In the Central Division, that's a tough call for me. I think I like the Cardinals again, although Houston's an interesting team.
I think they have some pitching. I mean, I think Darryl Kyle can really step up and be a number one. I think the way that they pretty much phased Doug Drabeck out and sent him back off to the White Sox at this point, I think he was sort of on the washed-up side.
Yeah.
I think the Astros, they got some pitchers you've never heard of who had real decent campaigns last year. I mean, Shane Reynolds,
Reynolds
16
Hampton.
Wins last year.
Yeah,
Hampton.
Mike Hampton, Billy Wagner is going to be real good for them, too, I think. And in the West, you know, it's hard to beat that Dodgers pitching staff.
See, I'm a Padre enthusiast for some reason. I mean, I've met Tony Gwynn several times. I'm a big fan of his. So I just always find myself rooting for the Padres. And that's kind of a heart above the head thing, because I know we look on paper and we see that Dodgers pitching rotation. We say, hey, they go out there 4 and 5 days in a row and, you know, very easily could get shut out baseball for the better part of a week.
Sure, but I think Todd Zeal's going to help them there. And this young guy, Wilton Guerrero, looks very good.
Good at this point, they sent Asuna out, who's a guy I think they believe was going to start the season in L.A. He'll start in Albuquerque. Give me a wild card in the NL. Are you like everybody else jumping on this this Florida Marlins campaign?
They're awfully good. You know, I think they have a chance to be the wild card.
All right, so you're gonna stay on the fence there, but you'll take the Florida Marlins, is that correct?
I guess so. It's between the Marlins and the Astros for me.
All right, look, I got a big fan here, a guy named Scott Norton here in Baltimore, to fax me a bunch of questions, so I'm just going to throw them at you. What are your best memories of the 93 All-Star Game as far as singing the National Anthem? I know at one point I had gotten, I believe, you an invitation to sing the American National Anthem at Memorial Stadium for an Orioles game, but the Canadian Anthem. How did that whole thing come about, and how did you wind up getting invited to do that?
I don't know. I got a call from the Major League Baseball office, and they just asked me if I would be interested. I guess somebody must have told them about my association with, my love of the game and all that. And I was just thrilled to do it. It's one of those things you just have to do.
And you did it in a great city, too.
Yeah, it was. The idea of doing it at Camden Yards, I have to admit, was very special to me. And it was just a glorious night that I'll always remember.
You go to a lot of ball games, a lot of ballparks. Camden Yards, compare it to the other stadiums from your mind. I mean, I get around a lot, too. People always ask me. And I say, I think it's the best of the new ballparks, although I haven't been out to Denver yet. But as far as Texas and Cleveland and some of the other parks that I've seen, I'll still take Camden Yards, and I know its flaws. I know the left field corner, there are a lot of bad seats, but as far as the new ballparks, I think they've totally outdone Cleveland and Texas, for instance.
Well, I've never been to Texas, and I haven't been to Coors Field, but it's definitely the best in my view that I've seen so far.
All right, now, Bryn Smith was a guy that was a buddy of yours, right?
Absolutely.
Former pitcher for St. Louis, Montreal, some other stops along the way. He actually played, did some sound check stuff with y'all, I think, on the Grace Under Pressure tour. Have you ever taken BP?
Well, yes, I have a couple of times, much to my embarrassment. Actually, my friend Mark Langston had me taking BP this past spring in Arizona. And
did you get it out of the infield or no?
Yeah, I got a couple out of the infield.
All right, so what you're saying is you're working your way up to that all-star pregame celebrity thing?
I have to say that it was a fairly ugly swing I have.
Did you ever play organized ball, or was this
no?
No, never.
Alex and I, our guitar player, played in a league up here for a couple of seasons, and on a team called Those Darn Fish. But it wasn't anywhere near professional.
Now I understand. Do you have a crew softball team? Is that correct?
No, we haven't actually played. We used to play once in a while on the road, but lately the crew's been wanting to play golf, so we've been having golf tournaments.
Golf tournaments. Well, we got a golf tournament coming up here for charity, too, but I'll buzz the old organization about that. Now, one last thing here, interleague play. Now, this is where we really, you've rooted for the Expos at some point and the Blue Jays at some point. Do we really want to see the Baltimore Orioles on the field with the Philadelphia Phillies? Me, personally, I'm more of a purist, more of a traditionalist. I don't want to see this. It's happened. I think we could go into an hour-long dissertation about the gods of baseball
right.
And how they've done the fans wrong, and I'm sure I could get you up on the pedestal and start chanting about that. Interleague play, rub you the wrong way?
No, it doesn't, actually. I'm pretty much a purist, too. I mean, I'm all in favor of getting rid of the DH and making every ballpark have natural grass. But interleague play doesn't bother me at all. I think a couple of weeks in the middle of the season creates a little interest, and there are some teams and some cities that haven't been to a World Series in a long time, and why shouldn't fans be able to see the good players from the other league?
The one thing that I was against was the added playoff format, having extra teams involved. And I found that over the 2 years that it's happened, I know it happened at the sour end of the strike and that kind of thing. I found it to be great that we get these races in September where everybody gets a chance, and Lord knows, and not just because I'm an Oriole fan here and we benefited from it last year, but I think every year there are going to be five or six cities that at least benefit from the ability to be in a pennant race where there would have been none before.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I was pretty dead set against it, and I found myself just finding it very exciting when it actually came around.